Shabbat Shalom. We're glad to be with you. It seems like it's been a century since we were last with you. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas, and a pastor teacher at Shalom Shalom Congregation. Our small congregation meets every Shabbat evening, Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time at Northwest Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. The church is where we meet is actually the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301 at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, zip 75231. So we're glad you could visit us, drop by tonight. And guess what? We are giving you a full report of our 59th gospel outreach. And we had a wonderful outreach, a very effective outreach. And we will give you part one tonight and what happened on this outreach. And very, very interesting stories to tell. We did have one, I wouldn't say violent altercation, certainly not from us, but from that individual who did not like the fact that we were proclaiming Yeshua through the Tanakh and the Berit Chadashah together. And you're going to get that sometimes over in Israel. That's a territory that it comes with the territory. Doesn't happen often, thankfully, but you better be ready and prepared when it does happen and not be a walking man. You got to affirm your right to speak the truth in a democracy like Israel is. But of course, if you're Yad Lachem or the Ultra Orthodox, any presentation or any proclamation of the gospel of Yeshua would be censored, shut down, and those who are involved, if they are visiting, would be placed under the ban of the Ministry of Tourism. That's why we don't go around with cameras and walk in with pomp and circumstance in Israel, because some people do not like what we are doing over there, particularly of the ultra-Orthodox group. I myself have been sent threatening emails by Yad Lachem, and once I was accosted by them on the street, and this was back in my younger days. But I'll tell you more about this ultra-Orthodox Antichrist later and what he tried to do. But before we get started, we're glad you could be with us, and this is a ministry devoted to the sound exposition of God's Word with an emphasis on the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and doing Jewish evangelism in Israel. The gospel is to go to the Jew first. That is not a matter of opinion. That is not something that God suggests. It is the order that the church should follow when carrying out evangelism and discipleship, i.e. the Great Commission. Jesus set that standard. He went to his own people first, Matthew chapters 10 and 15. Although he did minister to Gentiles, his primary audience, though, was to the Jewish people, because as Paul said, to them was given the covenants, the priesthood, the temple, the sacrifices, and the oracles of God. So we'll get into our presentation here in a bit. If you would like to know more about our ministry and what the Holy Spirit is doing through this ministry and bringing Jesus back to his people and having a rightful place among them again, then you can check out our quarterly newsletter, Search the Scriptures. This is our fall 2025 edition, and our spring will be coming out in early February. So I'm not going to worry about that right now, but this is our fall 2025 edition. And in this edition, we have selected stories from our 58th gospel outreach that took place in September of 2025. I and Dr. August Rosado of Today in Bible Prophecy. Folks, it's because of faithful givers, not necessarily one-time givers, but faithful givers who have made this in time gospel outreach to the people of Israel in the land of Israel, the people and land of divine destiny possible. That we are entering our 26th year doing this. It's hard to believe, but this marks the 26th year that we have taken the gospel to the Jewish people. And Lord willing, we will continue to do that going forward. I will say that as the older you get, it does take greater toll on your body. And I've had to fight through some, even in the past, knee situations and all that because of the walking we do, knee surgeries, meniscus repairs and all that. And I and the doctor said, well, you're walking on that kind of terrain and you don't want to do that. Of course, I had a false brother say when I mentioned that years ago in an appeal letter, he accused me of drumming up fictitious stories so that I could bilk money from people. He is no longer with this ministry, by the way. But even though we had physical proof. So, but, you know, it's like what Paul said, we're willing to be spent and poured out for the gospel's sake. Because, and I hate to sound like a broken record, people are not doing this. The church is not doing what we're doing when they should be doing it. There should be droves of sound biblical evangelists going to Israel and bringing HaBesor Shel Yeshua HaMashiach back to his people. And yet they are not, for a variety of reasons, but we won't go into that now. If you are interested in supporting our ministry and being a regular partner, then you can click on the donate link there provided below the title of tonight's message. And we are so thankful that we are also in our second year of going full time again. And we pray that will continue. And one more thing, and then we'll get into this. We already have our dates for the spring gospel outreach to Israel. And those dates will be April 12th through the 26th. And it will be this ministry's 60th gospel outreach. I never thought we'd get to 50, let alone 60. And if we got to 100, that would be quite amazing. But by then, I'll probably be in my 80s if the Lord should tarry and I'm still here. But once again, this gospel outreach was very fruitful, very effective. And we handed out 38 Hebrew Bibles. Now, we have different sizes that we hand out. This is the ones we handed out were a little bit bigger than this size you see here. And I want to thank, again, Sar El Tours and Messianic Believer Samuel Shmazda for providing us these Bibles free of charge. His brother owns a Messianic printing company in Jerusalem called Keren, K-E-R-E-N Publishers. And they publish these Bibles. And there's a nice appendices in the back. And one of them is an appendix on Messianic prophecy and how Yeshua the Messiah fulfilled them. So throughout this presentation, when I say we gave them a complete Bible or a complete Jewish Bible, I mean one with not only the Torah, the law of Moses, not only the Ketuvim, the writings, not only the Navi'im, the prophets, but last but not least, the Berit Chadashah, which completes the canon of Scripture. And this has all of them in here, a two Testament Hebrew Bible. And we also hand out three tracts to the precious Israelis. I don't have an Arab tract here that we do pass out to the Arab people. I should have brought one with me, but these are the ones we pass out to the Jewish people. This is called, this one's called Love the Jewish People. But it's under another title too, same track, called Israel's Past, Present, and Future. And this is an illustrated track where you have the old prophetic plan of God for the Jewish people from the Exodus to the second coming of the Messiah. And then we have another track called L'Chaim, provided by Life in Messiah Ministries. And this is a tract that shows how a Jewish person can have a relationship with the God of Israel through Israel's Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. And then we have pamphlet called The Promised Messiah. And in this pamphlet, we have 17 of the major first coming messianic prophecies that Yeshua fulfilled in the Hebrew text. And underneath the English translation, we have the Old Testament prophecy. And then in the New Testament, we have its fulfillment in Hebrew and English. So when I talk about messianic literature or gospel tracts, it is these three I'm referring to. So let's get into it. I'm reminded of what the scripture says in Isaiah 60, verse number one. I'm sorry. Is that it? Yes. It says Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the land, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you." And yes, the light of the glorious gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the image of God, shines upon Israel again. Amen. And it's because of this ministry that it does so, as well as other ministries, the few that do what we do. But on this outreach, we were committed to shining without interruption, without embarrassment, without fear, without hindrance, the light of the glorious gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so as we were in JFK waiting to board our flight, this gentleman here started talking to us, an elderly gentleman, and his name is Ron Emanuel, not Rahm Emanuel, the Obama lackey and minion. This man's name was Ron Emanuel, and he is a famous producer in Israel, and he's worked with Christian ministries in filming documentaries that highlight the historical narrative, story, and accuracy of the Old Testament and also the New Testament. And he was familiar and had read the Berit Chadashah. So we had a good discussion with him before our flight. Well, after a long flight, we landed in Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. And we'll go to the next one. And praise God. So the Lord had us safely land in Israel. And once we landed, we immediately shared the good news with our car rental representative. Now, this is an effective ministry. We had another young Israeli lady about 8 years ago. We saw her like four trips in a row. And then a year after, we didn't see her. And she, we were Facebook friends. She texted me and said that she came to faith in Yeshua, partly due to our evangelistic efforts. So again, the word of God does not return void. It will either bring salvation or judgment. Salvation to the one who accepts, and sadly, judgment to the one who rejects. But the word of God will bring fruit, either positive or negative. But so this young lady's name was Taya. Her co-worker, Itai, happened to be there. Do you remember Itai? He remembered us from our last outreach in September and the complete Hebrew Bible we gave him. And as he listened in again, he encouraged Taya very strongly to hear and receive the same gift of God's complete word. She likewise did so, thanks in part to Itai's encouragement. Itai was the one that when we gave him the Bible, the moment we land, he said it would be an honor for him to read the complete scripture. So now he's encouraging a fellow Israeli to do the same. And she was very touched to receive the word of God concerning the Messiah who came to save her. So after we made the hour drive to outside of Jerusalem to Sar'el Tours facilities to pick up the Bibles, we then drove straight back to Tel Aviv and returned to the massive Dizengoff Mall there for in-depth ministry among the Jewish people. And I will say the first two people we witnessed to in there, we were shut down. They did not accept our testimony or the scriptures. But did that deter or discourage us? No, because the Lord told me a long time ago, when one person rejects, another will succeed and accept. And that's exactly what happened. We engaged in some, okay, next one. We engaged in some powerful ministry with sunglasses shop owner Dor. D-O-R. He knew Jesus, the greatest Jew of all, required serious consideration and study in both testaments of the Jewish Bible. Dor told us that it was, now he said this, not coached by us, not encouraged by us. He came to the conclusion After looking through the scriptures, he said that it seems to be that the Messiah is the one that connects the two testaments together. And that we more than any other trip, we Israelis said this to us, this theme that the two testaments of the Hebrew Bible are connected by the Messiah. He is the main link. And so when he said that, this allowed August and I to show him how by the fulfillment of first coming messianic prophecy, Jesus alone is the Messiah. And we went through this little pamphlet with him about the promised Messiah. And you know, when you read Matthew's gospel, Matthew's gospel is written primarily to the Jews. Matthew uses the same apologetic format. He shows how Yeshua is the prophesied Messiah by virtue of his prophetic fulfillment of clear and accurate prophecies about the Mashiach, about the Messiah. So that's a good Matthean method of evangelism. How do you like that? I just came up with that phrase, Matthean method of evangelism, showing the Jewish person from their own Tanakh, their own Bible, i.e. the Old Testament, how that Yeshua is the fulfillment of the prophecies, proving and pointing to him as the Messiah. So taking up our loving challenge that every Jew must know and acquaint themselves with the Messiah, Dorr was overjoyed to receive the scriptures and messianic gospel tracts from August and I. Now moving on. This was an interesting witness. Liam was a young Israeli lady whom we convinced to accept a Hebrew Bible with a New Testament. Let me explain. She was open, but then balked. She was open at first, but then balked about taking a Bible from us once she saw the New Testament. Hebrew Brit Chadashah written on the binding in gold. She said she balked at that because she said that was not for Israel. Oh, really? Had she read the Tanakh, the Bible, the Jewish Bible, she would have seen that indeed the Brit Hadashah was first made with Israel. And so then, based upon that, we gently corrected her by pointing out God promised in Jeremiah 31 through 34 to give a Brit Hadashah, a new covenant, to the house of Israel, which Yeshua ratified by his atoning death on the tree. Amazingly, and this isn't the first time this has happened, amazingly, God's Spirit convinced and opened Liam's heart once she saw God wants the Jewish people to have the new covenant and with it salvation in the Messiah who has come and will soon come again. You see, look at her. She started looking through it, and we appealed to her from the prophetic text of Hanavi Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah, whose book we're currently studying in here. She said, she thought about it, and she says, okay. Now, that's obedience, folks. Now, she's obviously not saved, but when we showed her from the Word of God that God wants the Jewish people to have the new covenant, she obeyed the Word. So now let's pray that faith will grow and become explicit in Yeshua for salvation. Amen. And this is not the first time this has happened. There have been other times where they will, I would say out of 10 times when they say the new, that it's the Israelis say the new, or they say Barik HaShai. They don't say the New Testament. They just say the new is not for us. And then when we show them from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, that God would make a Barik HaShai, 8 out of 10 of them that are shown that change their mind and accept a complete Bible with the Brit Hadashah. And that's not because we're fine orators of persuasion. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, softening that hard heart that we all have before salvation and making it a heart of flesh to receive this. So it was amazing. Her countenance changed. She was very firm, although the news not for us. And then when we appealed from the Word of God in Jeremiah, her face softened up. You know, you try to break back the tears when you see this act, the actual transformation of someone from unwilling to willing, through the softening power of the Word of God. Amen. So that was a great start to first day of ministry. When we landed on the ground, many people would just go to the hotel and sleep it off. Not August and I. We are doggedly determined because, you know, our time on this puny little planet, to quote the ghost of Christmas present, is but brief. And we have to make most of our time, even 12 days over there. That's minuscule. And it's really, really just is not enough time. So we have to do as much as we can while these bodies still are, I'm not going to say young, but still have some energy left in them. All right. So moving on. All right. Our gospel ministry, the second day covered areas in Israel that included Netanya and Nazareth. The Lord opened two doors of gospel in ministry that morning with Nathan and Yana. Yana is pictured there with me. Both Israeli Jews. They both were Israeli Jews who readily welcomed the good news of salvation found in Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. To both, we shared that part of our mission for frequently visiting Israel was to return God's saving word about the Messiah. Yeshua first came to them. And so we come back to them first. And the Spirit of God opened Nathan and Yana to receive the word of eternal life that comes from Adon Yeshua, the Lord Jesus alone, John 6:68. So there's Yana, Russian immigrant to Israel, and then we'll go to Nathan. And there's Nathan. He was the chef in the kitchen. We actually went back into the kitchen. You know, normally you don't do, I said, we need to find this guy. Because at first we couldn't find anybody to cook us breakfast, and then Yana went and got Nathan. And Nathan was very apologetic, because we had to wait like 5-10 minutes, I don't know. And he went above and beyond to make us a great breakfast. So then he disappeared again. And so me and August looked at each other, we got to give these two Bibles and we got to witness, share the gospel with them. And so we were tracking down Nathan. We went back there in the kitchen looking for him, and we found him. And there you go, there's the result of it, folks. Another Israeli hearing of the great love the God man Yeshua has for his people and still does. If replacement theology were true, then Romans 1:16 would be null and void. But the fact that the gospel is to go to the Jew first proves that God is not replaced or is finished with the Jewish people, but wants them to know the saving power of Yeshua, just as he wants the Gentiles to know it too, the Arabs. They're technically Goyim, not Jewish, Semitic, but not Jewish. All right, so after we finished with that, the Lord led us to visit a bedding store where August and I boldly shared with Yvonne. We went over how God's word promises that he would regather Israel back into their land at the end of days, Isaiah 11:11-12. Jeremiah 31:10. And this was formally fulfilled, one could say, with the rebirth of Israel in May of 1948 and beyond. From that, we use the lesser to greater argument. So we use the latter-day fulfillment of Israel becoming a nation again, right? We move from that, from the lesser to greater argument with her to demonstrate that God gave clear and easy to understand prophecies about the Messiah and Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled concerning his first coming, proving from those fulfillments from the Word of God that he is the true Messiah of Israel. So as she was listening to us, to our astonishment, she began to say in Hebrew over and over again, Nachon. Nachon. How many of you in here know what Nachon means in Hebrew? That means it's the word for true. So she kept saying Nachon, Nachon over again. Thus, she affirmed we spoke the truth to her. And with that wonderful admission, Yvonne accepted a complete Bible from us and Messianic gospel tracts Further going into greater detail of what Augustine shared with her, at one point she asks us, if you've been coming over to Israel, you should know Hebrew by now. She goes, shame on you. And she didn't mean it in a bad way. But I thought about what Paul said. And Isaiah, I believe 28 says that that tongues would be a sign of judgment against the house of Israel, that God would send people from another nation speaking a foreign language. And I think you can make a technical exegesis of that here. You know, call me crazy, but the fact that we're coming to Israel speaking in a foreign tongue, first and foremost, that's a fulfillment of prophecy, because the nation rejected Yeshua. And Paul uses that same prophecy for the gift of tongues, which is not gibberish. It is speaking a known human language without prior learning. It's not what the Pentecostals and Charismatics say it is. I won't go down that rabbit hole. It's speaking a human language without prior learning. So if I were to suddenly speak in here Greek, modern day Greek, you wouldn't know what I was saying, except maybe for Greg Hartwig, who's studying Greek. But all of you in here would not know what I was saying. Well, that's a gift of tongues in operation. But I did chime back to Yvonne. I said, well, now that I've got Google Translate, I don't have to learn Hebrew. And I laughed. I said, but you're right. If time were accorded to us, we would love to speak Hebrew fluently. But fortunately, most Israelis speak English. And the few that don't that we witness to, guess what? Google Translate is wonderful. We don't even miss a beat with that when we speak to them, have to speak to them in Hebrew. But Yvonne, at some point when we were telling her about this Messiah, she started saying, Nachon, Nachon. And here she is. And I would say most women her age are not open to this kind of thing. Because as you know, the old trite saying, the older you get, the less open you are. But again, this is the power of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, at work in the lives and hearts of the Israelis, both young and old. So then we venture to Nazareth. And we'll go to the next slide here. And this young lady was a Muslim Arab. And we gave bold witness to this young Arab Muslim lady. Her name was Nadine. After we gave her the essential components of the gospel, Nadine made an interesting comment. She conceded that this was, quote, a matter of history, unquote. And we did mention in our gospel presentation that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, why would we say that? Because Islam, the Jesus of Islam is not the biblical Jesus. It is another Jesus. And they deny that Jesus is not only, they deny his deity, but they deny that he is the Son of God. And we simply said to her, Jesus proved his divine sonship by the miracles he performed, but even more by his resurrection from the dead. That was the vindication that God gave Jesus in his claims of being God's unique son. Amen. August and I offered Nadine a Bible and Arabic gospel tract, and she took it, not in a perfunctory way, but with joy and delight. So pray for Nadine. There's the Arab gospel track. I forgot to bring one tonight to show you, but amen. By the way, this is the same store that we had ministry with Natalie. She was a Jewish Israeli that worked there for several years. We witnessed to her, gave her a Bible, and then we would follow up whenever the Lord led. We'd come back in there on each successive outreach, not at every single one, but when the Lord led us, Nadine told us that she had moved north. So the Lord had us share the gospel with Nadine. All right, moving on. So, we'll come back to that one. Okay, so the next morning in the beautiful Galilee, August and I had a good talk with Susanna, an Arab kitchen worker at our hotel. We had good witness with her and shared with her Esau. Arabic for Jesus, what Esau did for her so that she could have forgiveness of sins, salvation, a new life, and a permanent home in heaven. And she too accepted an Arabic gospel tract and a Hebrew Bible. So we woke up our first full day in Galilee, and on that day was our traditional trek to the breathtaking Mount Hermon, on which was the likely site for the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Lord Jesus displayed his Shekinah, displayed the Shekinah glory of God emanating from his person, to which Peter, James, and John saw. So we'll go ahead and... There you go. Okay. So, but we had a problem getting up there, and it became very dangerous. Once we got into the Golan Heights, the fog rolled in, and it became so thick that visibility was almost zero. It got so bad that it was maybe, you could see maybe 8 feet in front of you beyond the hood of your car. Very dangerous situation. Try driving in that for an hour. It's very stressful and tense. Two other times we were struck by the fog up there. And this replaced the worst time that happened about 10 years ago. This is the second time we got hit with fog when August has been with me. But this was bad. In fact, August recorded a small video of us traveling through that fog. You can still see it on my Facebook page, and that's when the fog was good and it was about 15 feet in front of you. But it became so treacherous that the visibility was zero. It got so bad we had to use our GPS on our CarPlay screen, because there are sharp bends and turns in the road, and so we put our hazards on and our headlights on. And, it became very treacherous, to the point where we were going about 10 miles an hour, and we were traveling in this dangerous environment for almost an hour, folks. But we did not turn back. Because why? Maybe because we're throwing caution to the wind. I don't think so. Because the gospel needed to be brought to the IDF stationed up there, in that solitary and at times foreboding place. Well, the fog finally lifted somewhat when we arrived at Mazdal Shams, a Druze city right below Mount Hermon. But once we arrived there, as you can see on the screen, we met two IDF soldiers by the names of Yoni and Nagi, and we gave both of them water and snacks with complete Hebrew Bibles. August and I, as we always do when we go up there, told them that this mountain was 2,000 years ago, was the place where Yeshua revealed his divine glory and was affirmed to be both God and Messiah by the voice of God, by the audible voice of God from heaven, with Moses and Elijah standing by Yeshua. This was emblematic of the fact the Torah and the prophets of the Tanakh all point to Yeshua being the true Messiah, or this is what we were sharing with them. Both soldiers hugged us and took up us on our invitation to read God's word, to see and believe this for themselves, for their salvation. Amen. And so then we left there, and there's a ski village when you come down from the mountain, Nevi, I forgot the last name, N-E-V-E, I forgot the, there's two names, and forgive me for my memory lapse, but we stopped at a steak restaurant there to have lunch. While there, we gave a compelling gospel presentation to Nassim, the Arab waiter working there. He was shown from an Arabic gospel tract the wonderful life Jesus lived to give this young man salvation. It was, yeah, there it is, the T-Bone Cafe. He didn't want his picture taken. We respected that. But we were able to leave him a Hebrew Bible with an Arabic gospel tract. And he can now, through the scriptures, know and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. John 17:3. So we move on. Okay, this, by the way, do I have his Can you bring me that manila folder?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have it here. Never mind. I have a little bio of this significant scholar, Eli Shukron. Let me explain to you about Eli Shukron. He's right up there with Dan Bahat as one of the most renowned archaeologists in Israel. So we were sitting at dinner the second night in the Galilee, and there was a gentleman whose back was facing us. And August went to get some soup, and he came back, and he just stopped cold in his tracks, looked over there, and I'm watching him like, what's going on here? He goes, are you Eli Shukron, the famed Israeli archaeologist? And meekly, Eli said, yes, I am. And he said, Todd, you won't believe this. It's Eli Shukron. And Eli Shukron, we met and talked with him and asked if we could do an interview with him. And he graciously agreed. And it was an honor to talk with Eli. Eli Shukron is an archaeologist who is employed by the Israel Antiquities Authority, and he has made several significant finds from the period of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. We interviewed him about this cockamamie theory that the city of David was really the site of the temples of Solomon and Herod, which it most certainly is not. That's an apocryphal theory that was invented by the follower of Ron Sham. Archaeologist Ron Wyatt and a follower of his by the last name of Cornut. But anyway, the Temple Mount is the actual Temple Mount where the temples of Solomon and Herod stood. It's not the city of David adjacent to it. And we interviewed him, and he provides the historical and archaeological proof proving that and disputing this newfound theory that the city of David was actually the Temple Mount. August and I have been to the City of David. It's the place where they've excavated remnants of King David's palace. And I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that topographically speaking, there is no way that that is the Temple Mount, because the land area and the topography is precipitous, very rocky, very steep. There's no way that it could have sustained a broad esplanade like the Temple Mount did with the two temples in Jewish history. But anyway, Eli Shukron has made several significant finds. Let me briefly list them. In 2004, he and archaeologist Ronnie Reich excavated the Second Temple period Pool of Siloam, which August and I have done a teaching at. The find was formally announced on August 9th, 2005. The pool was used, as you know, for Jewish healing rituals and is cited in the New Testament, John chapter 9, as the site of the healing miracle of Jesus when he healed the man born blind. In 2007, Shukron excavated an ancient Jerusalem water channel that drained Jerusalem. Items discovered in the tunnel appear to confirm Josephus's account of Jews using the sewer as a refuge and escape from the burning city set ablaze by the Romans in 70 AD. They found among their finds was they found a rare half shekel coin used to pay the Second Temple tax. Only seven other such coins had been found in archaeological digs. In September 2009, archaeologist Reich uncovered the Jerusalem Pilgrim Road. And in May 2000, and I talked to Shukron about this find off camera. In May 2012, Shukron told the public that archaeologists, while sifting through the debris from the excavation site of the City of David, just south of the walls of the old city, found a shard from a bulla, which is a seal, bearing the name of the city of Bethlehem. Why is that important? Well, because this is the first time that Bethlehem is mentioned outside the Bible from the period of the First Temple. Shukron told me it's dated to the 8th century BC. And I could cite other discoveries he's made. One of the most interesting discoveries Eli Shukron made was the discovery of a small golden bell that the high priest wore on the hem of his garment, the pomegranate, the bell, the pomegranate, you know, how God commanded the high priest's garment to be decorated with that. Well, they found one of these, he did, in a drainage tunnel. And that was used in the first century Jerusalem prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So this guy is not just some amateur, not in the least. And so we were able to talk to and interview Eli Shukron. And after our interview, we gave him several Messianic gospel tracts, the three that I showed you at the beginning of this presentation. And we gave him a complete Hebrew Bible with an apologetic teaching arguing for the Messiahship of Jesus. Eli was very receptive and accepted all our gifts with gratitude. And this man is brilliant, and he's so humble. He's so humble. And he's a very even-keeled guy. He's not all emotional. And I'm like getting all worked up about talking to him. And I said, man, when you made these major finds, which back up the historicity of the Bible and back up the New Testament, I said, you must have been euphoric. And he wouldn't tell me. Yes, I was. He just said, oh, well, I was fortunate. Very humble man. And yet he does have, there seemed to be some reverence there for Yeshua and the New Testament. And then I threw this out at him. I said, so isn't it true that archaeology proves the accuracy and the historicity of the Word of God? And he looked at me without blinking, and he said, absolutely. And I said, that would include the New Testament. He goes, absolutely. After all, we found the pool of Siloam. And so, but we witnessed to Eli and gave him the scriptures. So pray for Eli Shukron. And it was an honor to talk with him and to give him a gospel witness for Yeshua. Look him up online, Eli Shukron, E-L-I-S-H-U-K-R-O-N. I put him right up there with archaeologists like Dan Bahat. And Dan Bahat is a renowned worldwide famous Israeli archaeologist. And Dan Bahat's in his 80s. I would say Eli's probably in his mid to late 50s. So after that, the next day, we visited the big mall in Tiberias. August and I shared the benefits of knowing who the Jewish Messiah is and the salvation benefits he gives with Noah, N-O-A here. You see her, August conversing with her, showing the Messianic gospel materials with the Bible that we gave her. We told her God has given his word from Israel that Jew and Gentile may know Yeshua as the Messiah, come to save those who believe in him. Noah's response was one of jubilance upon hearing the good news and was excited to learn more when receiving God's written word from us. With the Bible, we again provided her additional Hebrew gospel tracts so that she could further study this all-important saving truth. And then we left there and we met another Israeli Jewish woman at this mall in Tiberias. Her name was Avital. And she, too, welcomed our witness for Yeshua being the Messiah with an open heart. At one point of the conversation, we also offered her a complete Jewish Bible. When she noticed, here we go again, when she noticed that it contained the New Testament, Avital said, it all goes together. We agreed and added the Bible is connected to the main link, the Mashiach, of whom both testaments are joined together in pointing to Yeshua as that very Messiah come to save Jew and Gentile. Avital was excited also to receive these scriptures and the testimony they bear concerning the God-man from Nazareth, Romans 1, 2 through 4. All right, so the next day, August Rosado and I had a transition day. What is a transition day? When we travel from one major city to another. And before we left, By the way, we did 8 YouTube teachings in Israel. August Rosado and I did. You can go to his website, August Rosado. Type in August Rosado and Todd Baker. We've done at least 60 videos from Israel. And we, if time allows us after our day of evangelism, we will go to a biblical site and teach from there. Well, this time we went to the tomb of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a famous rabbi involved with the second Jewish revolt from 132 to 135 AD. And he was an ardent follower of the rebel leader Shimon Bar Kokhba, son of the star. And to, unfortunately, to Rabbi Akiva's discredit, he proclaimed Shimon Bar Kokhba the Messiah. We were here and we had these young yeshiva students come up to us and ask us suspiciously, well, what are you doing up here? And so we shared with them, we talked with them, and we gave a brief witness to them. And they left us and then we did a teaching up here on the false messiahs of Israel. The nation of Israel today has accepted about 42, 43 false messiahs. I have 2 books listing all those false messiahs. The latest one would be Menachem Schneerson, the late Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. And the irony, and you'll see it in our teaching if you go to YouTube, it's called the False Messiahs or something to that effect. The irony is that the one true Messiah who came to them, they as a collective people never heralded him as the Messiah. But all these other messiahs, they did hail as the true Messiah at some point. The irony is tragic and it's sad. But we did a teaching up there based on what Jesus said 3 times in Matthew 24. That in the at the end of days, there will be false messiahs saying, I am Messiah. And sadly, Shimon Bar Kokhba is a false messiah that the Rabbi Akiva proclaimed to be that messiah. Okay, so after that, the next day we left the Galilee for Jerusalem, the golden city of our God, Psalm 48:1. While leaving the Galilee, though, we spent time sharing the gospel with Ramas. Here he is. We went over the life of Jesus the Savior with him from the Lord's virgin birth to his second coming in glory to the land of Israel, Matthew 1, 21 through 23, Revelation 19, 1 through 16. Ramas heard of the atoning death Messiah died to cleanse us from all sin and the gift of that salvation, giving the believer eternal life and a forever home in heaven, John 14, 1 through 4, 1 John 1, 7. And Ramas heard us gladly and with the arms of faith received the Bible and an Arabic gospel tract from us to learn even much more of the way of salvation. So pray for Ramas. Okay, so we left the Galilee and going up Highway 90 north to Jerusalem. Nearing the highway leading up to Jerusalem, Highway 1, We stopped once again and visited Kasr al-Yahud, that is Arabic for the castle of the Jews. And there is a baptismal site there. And it is the likely site of Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. At this location, August and I met a very friendly and wise Jewish park ranger whose name was Edo. He was quite familiar with the message of repentance preached by Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptist, because that is the area where John the Baptist preached repentance and preparation for the coming Messianic kingdom. From that knowledge, we discussed with Edo the need for repentance to receive salvation from Yeshua, the King Messiah. After all, Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Edo agreed that God is looking for acts of obedience, for acts of obedience and repentance to prove one's profession of faith in the Lord for salvation. The fruits of teshuvah, or repentance, and good works that follow and result from true saving faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Matthew 3:8, James chapter 2. Edo gladly received a Hebrew Bible, which included the New Testament and Messianic literature, so that he could read that. So we pray that God's Spirit will work and move through his word and grant this open and receptive seasoned Israeli the gift of repentant faith in Yeshua the Messiah for eternal life, just as God calls all of us to do, that he might be the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Acts 2:38 and Acts 17:30. This has really been a good location of ministry that we stop at right before we take the highway up to Yerushalayim. And it's been a place where we've witnessed to both Arab and Jews working at this national park. It is a national park. All right. Well, the next day we were in Jerusalem, and go ahead. Yeah, that's Kasser Al Yehud, baptism side. We can keep going. Okay. And here we, the Lord allowed us to proclaim the good news of Yeshua the Messiah to an Arab employee of the hotel we were staying in. Her name was Jelena. We showed her from an Arab gospel track how the life of Jesus impacts her personally for time and eternity. She heard the word also and received the written word when we gave her a Hebrew copy of the scriptures. And so praise God for that. All right, folks, we're going to end it here. And next time we will resume our presentation as we start our ministry in Jerusalem and then concluding in Elad. Next time I'll tell you about the opposition we had trying to film a teaching on the Third Temple in front of the Temple Institute. And I won't do that now because we don't have enough time. But pray for these people, these precious Jewish people and Arab people who have now heard the gospel and received the word of God. And God is working through this ministry to bring Jesus back, amen, to his rightful place among his ethnic brothers and sisters, so that he may continue to be front and center of the people of Israel. For the scripture says that he is the glory of the people of Israel. Simeon the prophet said that when he beheld the infant Messiah in the temple, in the Bet HaMikdash. So he is still the glory of Israel. He is the consummation and completion of the calling of the Jewish people to bring to the world not only the word of God, originally in Hebrew, but to bring the Jew of all Jews, Yeshua the Messiah, so that both Jew and Gentile may be saved. Amen. And I will end with what I began with in Isaiah 60. It talks about how the saving and supernatural light of Mashiach will rise upon the nation of Israel, but also that Gentiles will come to this saving light. And that is exactly what we have going on. As God is bringing the Jewish people back into their land, he's also bringing back people to preach the gospel to them for the first time since the diaspora of 70 AD, when pretty much Jewish missions had altogether died out in the land of Israel. And then with the rebirth of the nation of Israel and the Jewish population booming there, they now, God is now bringing people to them to share the gospel with them. There are now more Jewish people in the land of Israel than there are Jews in the entire world outside of Israel. So that is definitely another sign. And when we started this ministry of going to the Jewish people with the gospel in obedience to Romans 1:16 and following the example of Yeshua and the apostles, there were roughly about 5,000 Jewish believers in the land. There are now over 25,000. Not because of us, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God is beginning to work once again as he did long ago in Israel. And we know that God's major works of supernatural salvation primarily were in the land of Israel, and they will return and occur again in the land of Israel. That will eventually bring this Messiah back to the land of Israel to save the Jewish nation at his second coming. Folks, again, we need your help, not only to do these gospel outreaches in Israel, but to do this ministry full time. We do Jewish evangelism, we teach, and we do bring you good, sound theological literature. So please consider giving to us. Each and every donation is tax deductible. And it's because of your support, these people one day will come to you in heaven and say thank you for sending those two shalachim, sent ones, so that we could hear the goel of Yeshua, the redemption of Jesus, and we were saved by that message. For faith comes by hearing, and the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, we will be back with you, Lord willing, this Thursday. I'll be continuing my series of studies on the problem of evil answered from the cross and resurrection. And then next Friday night, Lord willing, we will come back with you with part two of our 59th gospel outreach to Israel presentation. Until then, shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.